रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. युद्धकांड चैप्टर नंबर 65. कुंभकर्ण गोज आउट टू फाइट. Thereat Kumbhakarna frowned at Mahodara and put him down roughly. He turned to Ravana and said, I will wipe out the fear that has come to you through that Rama, that wicked person, and that through his death. May you live long without the shadow of a foe to cross your path. Heroes, waste not your words like spent clouds. My words shall be fully borne out by my acts. Heroes brook not the insult put upon them by others. They never brag or blow their own trumpets. They do not sing their own praises, but will reveal themselves and their valor through acts. But those that are bereft of reason and calm judgment, those that are inwardly afraid of the enemy, those that are hopelessly conceited as all the wise, those that are of your clan, Mahodara, to you and to ministers like you have our majesty lent his ear and has brought himself to this pass. The very word battle falls upon your ears like thunder and grips your heart with terror. Then you simply echo the sentiments of your master and speak what is pleasant to him. You lend yourself unresistingly to all his purposes. Your counsel and that of your kin has impelled our majesty to carry away Sita and invite this terrible fight upon us. Alas, this Lanka, perfect in every way, has for its ruler one whom it is hard to describe. Dreadful indeed must have been the karma that it laid upon the past to win for it such a ruler. The best of friends to all appearances is but in secret his worst foe and destroyer. The people of Lanka are bound for ruin and destruction at the hands of such a king. Our forces have been scattered to the winds, our wealth and power have had a dire fog, and there remain but our majesty to tell the tale. Now, here do I march to battle to remedy the evil that you have brought upon us. I will make short work of our foes. No one here has any call for care or anxiety. Thus did he roar and shout in exultation and in lust of battle like serried thunderclouds. His words brought joy and peace and assurance to the heart. He applauded the sentiments of Kumbhakarna. He expressed his pleasure at the clever and considerate words of his brother. He glanced at Mahodara and said in high glee, Brother of mine, this fellow seems mortally afraid of Rama. Hence battle is far from his thoughts. But no one can come upon the like of you whose heart ever thirsts for the joy of a noble fight. There is nothing about fights or battles or war that he do not know. And likewise, you have no peer in strength, courage, and in love towards me. So I venture to rouse you most untimely from your sleep, only to rid myself of my foes and fear. Now is the moment when the Rakshasas that are intent upon my well-being should express their loyalty in action. Go forth to battle armed with your trident, like unto Yama with his noose of destruction. Rama, Lakshmana, and the entire monkey hosts cannot afford you a mouthful. They might shine in the brilliance and splendor like unto the Adityas, but what does it matter to you? Why, they have but to cast their eyes upon your wonderful bulk to die of cloven hearts. As for the monkeys, they will hide themselves all over the earth like unto cloud banks lashed with fierce winds and storms. Go forth unto battle, brother of mine, and come back crowned with victory. Ravana spoke thus to put fresh spirit and enthusiasm in the heart of Kumbhakarna, whose natural strength and valor were boundless. He felt himself in possession and enjoyment of the life breaths that had passed away from his body. Full well did he know the matchless strength of body and prowess of his brother. So his face shone like the spotless moon, free from all care. Kumbhakarna grew in bulk and strength, as it were, from the words of his brother and king. His heart was glad at the praise and confidence bestowed on him. So he took leave of Ravana and prepared to go forth to battle. He raised aloft his trident, frightful to see, forged of black iron. It was decked with gold of the most precious kind, molten and pure. It blazed like the flame of the huge fire. Was frightful to behold, like the vajra of Indra, and was heavy in proportion. It was the trident that won for him victory many a time on the field of battle when Devas, Danavas, Gandharvas, Yakshas and Kinnaras fell before him. It was ever adorned with red flowers and vomited cruel flames through its natural spirit of cruelty and malignity, the result of its blinding splendor. The blood and flesh of countless foes were embedded in it. Kumbhakarna played with it lightly and cried, "Your Majesty, I go forth to battle with none by my side. My armies shall stay here. The lust of battle and the wrath of it is to be upon me today, and the monkey hosts shall go down my throat like anything," and he roared frightfully. But Ravana intervened and said, "My dear boy, not so. March forth to battle in the midst of your armies and armed as becomes the hero like yourself. The monkeys are very intelligent creatures, highly endowed with reason and judgment. They are bursting with enthusiasm and perseverance. Should they come upon their foe in a careless moment, and all alone, they will bite him to death. So, go to fight with forces that might keep them away from you. Send to the halls of death every foe that seeks to stand up against the Rakshasas." He came down from the throne and threw around the shoulders of his brother a huge garland of gold encrusted with precious gems. He made a further present of armlets, shoulder plates, rings, chaplets, ear pendants, and other noble ornaments. He decked him with graceful robes of flowers, threw scents and perfumes over him, and gave him leave to go and fight. Then Kumbhakarna blazed forth like unto the sacrificial fire, set with offerings and made powerful with mighty mantras. A waistband ran around his loins, decked with rare gems like a Gomidaka and the Indranila. It sat upon him like the huge serpent Vasuki, as it was wound around the mountain Mandara when the Devas and the Asuras threw it in the ocean of milk to churn it to get the waters of immortality. His armor of gold made him mighty. It was proof against the weapons of the foe and shone in its splendor like the lightning flashes. He gave one the appearance of a huge mountain surrounded at sunset by cloud banks. He started towards the battlefield, gracefully adorned in every way and armed with his trident. He resembled at that moment Lord Narayana, who came down as Trivikrama to measure the three worlds in 3 feet. He clasped his brother warmly to his breast, went round him in reverence and bowed low before him, and the mightiest of the mighty of the Rakshasas took his way to the battlefield. Of boundless bulk and strength and vigor, the hero among the Rakshasas went on his way, roaring frightfully like black thunder. And Ravana spared him on his way with powerful blessings for his success. Conch, war drum, and other martial music crashed wildly. Armies of Rakshasas followed him with weapons of rare make and power, and there followed him elephants of mountainous bulk, horses fleet as a raging tornado, chariots and car warriors by thousands, roaring with pride and exultation like surcharged clouds. Serpents, camels, mules, horses, lions, elephants, deer, swans, and the like were the mounts used by the Rakshasa heroes. Kumbhakarna, the terror of the gods and the asuras, was clean hid under the shower of flowers rained on him by the people. A spacious white umbrella spread over his head like unto the moon in its full. He walked long as he played lightly with his sharp trident. Endowed with a pride and haughtiness of no ordinary kind, the smell of blood from the battlefield but made him more haughty and furious. Infantry past count and past any chance of defeat came after him. Of frightful shape and blood-red looks of anger of hues and thews, like unto mountains of black paint, they marched around him, armed in every possible way and rending the air with their war cries. Some sported tridents, some short swords, some hatchets, some long spears, and clubs and bars and palm trees, and these were light materials in their hands and fed their martial spirit. Kumbhakarna himself took a form that turned the hearts of his foes to water and cast their hair to stand upon end. His strength and splendor waxed illimitably as he set out to battle. His body looked like a huge mountain. It was 100 bow lengths around and 600 bow lengths in height. His eyes struck terror into the hearts of those that held them and were huge like unto car wheels. He walked, and the earth quaked under his feet like unto a lofty mountain with its woods and forests burnt down by a conflagration. He glanced around at his Rakshasas, opened his mouth like unto the dark underworlds, laughed in tones of thunder, and cried, "Behold my prowess and valor today! These monkey leaders are like moths at a flame, to fall into the fire of my wrath and be reduced to ashes. These creatures that rage the woods have till now or given me any offense. They formed a pleasing ornament to the groves, glades, and gardens of Lanka. But now they have dared to besiege the town and have to pay for the music they have called. First and foremost, I will send to their death Rama and Lakshmana, the head and front of all this evil. And then I will rid the earth of every vestige of monkey tribes." The Rakshasas roared dreadfully out of joy at these words, and the waters of the sea were sorely troubled thereby. Countless were the dreadful portents that arose on all sides when Kumbhakarna marched to battle. His keen intelligence failed not to read them right. Clouds, taking the shape and colors of asses, loomed dreadfully on high with thunder and meteor and blazing fires. Woods, mountains, oceans, and such like quivered in agony. Frightful jackals howled fearfully, emitting flames from their mouths. Birds circled in the wrong direction. Vultures and eagles fell across the path of the Rakshasa as if roped in garlands. Nay, his left eye and arm throbbed most painfully. A blazing firebrand fell in front of him with a terrible roar. The sun grew dim. The winds blew painfully. Bound by noose of Yama, Kumbhakarna was confused of mind and did not pay any heed to those dreadful portents that caused the hair to stand on end. He walked through the city and crossed the courts and came out of the plains beyond, only to behold the monkey host hide the earth from view like serried cloud banks on high. The sight filled him with wonder. On the other hand, the monkeys were clean dazed at the sight of the Rakshasa hero coming towards them like a mountain on foot. So they hid themselves wherever they could find a corner. Like unto black heavy clouds lashed by a fierce whirlwind and scattered all over, that vast monkey host, frightful to see in itself, took to their heels, chased by fear thereat, the Rakshasa warrior roared in joy. It fell upon the flying monkeys like surcharged rain clouds, called to one another in tones of thunder. Even so, Kumbhakarna, black of hue like those very clouds, and rending the air with his lion-like roars, caused the best and the bravest among them to fall dead or senseless, where he stood like lofty monarchs of the forest, uprooted by fierce gales. The mightiest of the mighty Rakshasas, endowed with the form and strength and prowess and courage and other heroic excellences to an unparalleled degree, brandished his trident aloft and rushed forth on the battlefield to wipe his foes out of existence. The monkeys fell senseless, taking it for the Lord Yama issuing forth from his abode on the day of destruction to gather unto himself the worlds and all that they held, his rod of time waiting upon him with the words, "What are thy orders?" Mangalam Kushlendraya Mahaniya Gunapti Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhumaya Mangalam.